Welcome to the Stabcast. I'm Dan Hummer.
And I am Mindy Hootie-Hoo.
We're here to talk about The Babysitter, a 2017 Netflix movie. Before we get into all that, how you doing, Mindy?
I'm doing good, Daniel. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. We're here on a Sunday afternoon, like usual, to talk about some horror. And kind of an underrated Netflix movie.
Yeah, very underrated, but it definitely at this point has a cult following.
Yeah, for sure.
And we're going to talk about this next one quite soon, but the second one actually, I would have to say, is one of those movies where the sequel goes a little past the original.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have to check. I haven't seen that one yet. I'm going to have to go back and watch it.
Yeah, I didn't see it either, but I saw it today and I just got sucked into it. I haven't seen the ending though.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, I'll definitely have to check
it
out.
As far as horror movie news goes, I'm sorry guys, I've been slacking.
You're slacking?
I've been slacking, I'm going to be completely honest. I have been slacking, but there has been an official theatrical poster released for a Nightmare on Elm Street movie that's coming soon, but they won't say who's playing Freddy.
Really?
Yes, I think they're trying to get England. I am almost 150% sure they're trying to get it.
They should. I mean,
because he's still
great.
Acting. He was just in Stranger Things.
Yeah.
And he's already been quoted saying that he would come back and do it again. One last time.
Exactly.
So I think we're going to get that one last time.
Jordan Peele's Nope. How's that doing on the Rotten Tomatoes score?
The Rotten Tomatoes score, now, I don't have a score for it or a budget and whatnot, but I do know that Kiki Palmer has officially come out with a statement that she is not happy because people have been comparing her role to Zendaya, saying that Zendaya could probably do it better.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's been a huge controversy like thing, and I don't know what's gonna happen. Honestly, it's probably gonna be ripped from theaters in a couple of days.
Yeah, I don't know. It made pretty good money so far, or something like that, right?
No, it lost money at first.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
its first week and a half, it was already down $6 million.
It's gotten some good reviews, though. I've seen that.
So. Oh, okay. I haven't seen any good reviews myself. Everything that I've seen and heard about it has been trash.
But yeah, it's got like 80% on Rotten Tomatoes. So.
Yeah, but, and I do know that Jeepers Creepers Reborn is officially coming out in October. I do have a little bit of news about that one. They are changing the entire story.
Are they?
So if people watched the third one and they got hyped like myself and like my fiance Kevin for the fourth one, unfortunately, we were lied to. So in the third one, at the end of the third one, they show Derry's sister.
Right.
And she's doing a monologue, and she says that she's going to get the fucker. Well, in this new one, in the trailer and everything, it's not their story. It's a completely different story. She's not there. She's not even casted in it.
Really?
Yeah, so it's bullshit. She's not there.
That is some bullshit.
I think that's why instead of Jeepers Creepers 4, they went with Jeepers Creepers Reborn.
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
Because from what I've seen, they're going to do a little bit of a prequel.
Yeah.
Kind of like thing. It's going to be based in the past around like the couple that we found in the tunnel from prom night.
That new Smile movie looks pretty good.
It does. It looks really good. I'm pretty excited for that to come out. Also, Orphan First Kill is finally coming out. It'll be out in a couple weeks on August 19th.
Right.
I know a lot of people are excited for that one, but October is going to be a really big year.
Yeah,
not year,
for sure.
Month. For this year, for us. So we're gonna have Halloween, we're gonna have the new Exorcist, we're gonna have Jeepers Creepers. So, I mean, also as far as TV goes, we're gonna have Chucky season 2.
Have you heard the movie The Invitation? It's coming out soon. I've seen a couple trailers
yes.
from that. It's
I have as well.
Sam Raimi.
Yes. I have as well, and I actually am quite interested in seeing that, definitely.
Looks good. The one.
But, yeah, spooky time's going to be a really good time for us.
I agree. All right, you want to get into the movie at hand?
All right, so before we give a spoiler-like review, we're just going to go ahead and go through it real quick. So the plot basically is you got a boy who's literally afraid of everything. Like, he's so afraid of everything that people beat the shit out of him. They think it's funny. I mean, the kid gets his house egged. Like, I honestly personally feel connected to that character because of the way I was treated. I know how he feels. Feels awful. And then he goes home, and his parents, they don't really understand him. They just kind of want to get away from him for the weekend, and it seems like they do that every weekend and whatnot. But in the midst of all of this, there is this gorgeous young vixen who saves him at the beginning of the movie, and you find out very quickly that it is the boy's babysitter. So even though he's 12 and he shouldn't have a babysitter anymore, since he's afraid of everything, he does. Her name is Bee. She's gorgeous. She seems to be a very, very caring young lady towards him. She gives him advice, like kicking people in the dick. Like, she seems very brotherly, sisterly bond. There.
Yeah, definitely.
Then you find out that he has a best friend, a little girl named Emily. Melanie, and she tells him that he should stay up all night and see if his babysitter has sex. Well, push comes to shove, and B, at the end of the night, gives him a shot, and we don't know exactly what she puts in there, but it is disclosed later that she put something in there to knock him out. Kid, don't take it. Well, him and his friend are talking and whatnot. He goes downstairs to witness what he thinks is an orgy. And shit gets real. I'm just going to say that. Shit gets real. Push comes to shove. And it turns into basically a cat and mouse race for this kid's life. So if you want to see any more, go check it out on Netflix. If you have seen it, go ahead and keep tuning in here.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the plot. Now, getting into spoilers, I mean, before that, I would recommend it, of course. I thought it was a good movie.
Absolutely. It's a fun ride.
It's a very fun ride. And this is, it stars Samara Weaving, and this was right after that Happy Death Day, too, right?
Was she in there?
Yeah, she was the main girl.
Oh, yeah,
Happy
she
Death
was
Day.
The main, she was Tree, wasn't she?
I'm pretty sure.
Unless
Are
I'm
you wrong.
Sure?
No, I might be wrong. Ready or not.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, but
Which
it was so pretty soon in her horror career.
Yeah, and Ready or Not's fun as fuck. That's a good movie.
Yeah. Bella Thorne is in this as well. Bella Thorne actually has a lot of horror acting experience, but on the indie side.
Yeah.
She's had a few hits that I actually really enjoyed. One's on Tubi. It's called Ride. Very, very good movie. It will keep you on the edge of your seat, but it's more of an action thriller, so we're not really going to cover it on here. And then the second one is on Hulu. I actually promoted it on our TikTok. It's called Girl. So if you guys are a fan of her, go check out those two movies. They're really good.
Yeah, Bella Thorne's an interesting character. Kind of controversial nowadays, but she's
and
got...
And Girl, it's different because she's not sexy.
Right.
She's the complete opposite. She's from a poor family, and she's looking for her papa that she thinks is going to go after her mama for money.
It's
and
crazy
it's
how
just,
her and Zendaya both started on the Disney Channel, and now they're both kind
of... They're on opposite sides of the spectrum.
Yeah. And both
complete opposite sides.
Famous, too. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Both of them came out on the right side of everything, but... I mean, they are two completely different actresses.
Yeah.
I mean, you got one that stars in Marvel movies and everything and is dating Spider-Man, and then you got Bella Thorne, who's basically a sex symbol.
Yeah. And her whole thing in this, because we can do spoilers now, right?
Yeah.
When she gets shot in the boob, it's fucking hilarious. And she's bitching about it.
All right, so before we get into that, we should probably talk a little bit about the beginning.
Okay.
Just a little bit.
Well, yeah, so long story short, the babysitter, B, right, or V or B?
Yeah, B.
B. So B takes this nerdy guy to this party, basically, at what's
his
fuck?
Spin the bottle.
Yes, they play Spin the Bottle. She's got to kiss everybody. So she does.
Yeah, because they're actually not playing Spin the Bottle. I apologize, guys. They're spinning a bottle, but they're playing Truth or Dare.
Okay.
That's why she's dared to kiss everyone. But what they don't understand is Cole, who I said before didn't take his shot, is actually upstairs at the banister watching all of them.
Right.
Go ahead, Daniel.
Okay, so he's watching them. She's doing her thing, making out with everybody. By the way, this has a pretty good cast because my boy King Batch is in this, who plays John. He's kind of he's an Instagram comedian. He's funny as hell, and he's funny in this. And Robbie Amell, who... He's been on The Flash, and he was that Chris Redfield in that Resident Evil movie. He's a really good actor.
And he played Max, and he was by far the fucking funniest character in this movie.
He's pretty funny. So this really had a damn good cast.
Absolutely. I mean, it was kind of all in the beginning of their stardom.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say that ruined it.
No, not at all. I mean, King Batch has been going hard since, like, 2012. But,
okay.
But, yeah, definitely. So I liked it a lot. I thought, but they're at the party. She's kissing everybody. And the kid's watching from the banister. And she goes to kiss the nerdy guy that she brought there. He's very scared. He's very nervous. He doesn't want to. He just met her, he's saying. And she's basically like, come on, you know, she's making him feel comfortable. And by the way, before, like, she seems like the sweetest person ever. She's like naming.
She really does.
And she's the only one that's nice to our protagonist here, to the boy.
Yes, she loves Cole.
So her and Cole are very close.
That.
Yes. Her and Cole are very fucking close. She's very sweet to him. And he's sweet to her, too. He likes her. But so this takes a turn.
But that a perverted, like.
No. It's not more of a crush. It's just like she's the only person that really is nice to him, besides that Melanie girl. Obviously.
Yes.
Or not Mel, or whatever her name is.
Oh, you
yeah,
got it, Melody.
But this chick, she makes out with the nerdy guy, and then fucking puts two butcher knives right in his head. It's terrible. Well, it's not terrible.
It's brilliant.
It's cruel. It's crazy. He got fucked up. So it's all part of a sacrifice, right? And why don't you talk about the kind of the cult that she's doing? Not
okay,
cult.
So B is part, no, it is a cult. B is part of a demonic blood cult. And basically what this cult does is that they have a leader, which is B. And they normally have about 3 or 4 people that are in the cult with them. And they sacrifice one person, and what they have to do is sacrifice a virgin. And then, this is very important, they have to get the blood of the innocent, but the innocent cannot die before the ritual is over. So, all of that is really creepy. So basically, once they get the blood of the virgin and they get the blood of the innocent, they have to mix it together, and then they have to pour it on the page as B recites the incantation, and then they all get what they want.
Yeah.
So she does call it the devil's book.
Yes, she does. And they kill the kid, or they killed the nerdy guy that they brought. Fuck
Samuel.
Him up. What's his name's Daniel?
Samuel.
Oh, Samuel. I was about to say, what the fuck? Samuel got fucked up. And then, obviously, Cole heard this whole thing. And he saw it.
He saw it.
He saw it, he heard it, and he's not happy. He runs, he goes in the bed. And then they go up there. She said, we got to get the blood of the innocent. So they end up taking a little bit of his blood, right?
Mm-hmm. No, they took an entire vial of it.
Okay, so they took the whole thing. Everyone leaves, but she stays behind the door, and then he gets up and tries to get the fuck out of there. And that's kind of when the games begin, because they realize that he knows what's going on.
But before that, I do want to mention, before that, because this 12-year-old child just literally saw a man be butchered to death, he did call the police. And also, before he called the police, poor John, man, he took... I feel so bad for this poor guy. Motherfucker, he's trying to get the blood out of Sam's head, and he's like, oh, I think we're a little clogged here, and then all of a sudden, Sam's blood just completely covers him from head to toe. And he's like, oh, come on! And it's a funny moment. It's a nice little chuckle, and honestly, it's what gets him, like, targeted as one of the first, well, we'll talk about that. But anyways, so you are right. B does wait for Cole to make a move because she knows something's wrong. She knows him very well. And he tries to tie a sheet at his window. And she ends up catching him and bringing him downstairs, and they tie him up. Now, at this point, they have no idea that the cops are on their way. This boy, he is very smart. He's been memorizing cop codes for years. But unfortunately, the only individual that knows that is B.
Yep.
So they got him tied up, and poor kid, he's just, ignorance is bliss with this child. He's like trying to cut himself loose, and they got him in front of a mirror, so they're watching him cut himself. And they're making fun of him and shit. And then finally B convinced them that we needed your blood for a science project. We're sorry. We didn't mean to scare you. It was just a big misunderstanding. Go ahead and untie him. And as the one chick, Sonya, tries to untie him, sirens go off. B immediately knows that Cole called the police.
In that part, though,
and
shit does go down, but let me say, during that part, I thought it was pretty funny because Bella Thorne was like, oh, he's cutting the rope. And he keeps fucking cutting it. And she's like, oh, he's a persistent little bastard. That was funny to me. It was a funny line.
It was funny. It was a funny little moment.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
But it was truly, this is kind of a, it is a horror movie, but it definitely has that comedy element. Probably, like, majority
it's
of it.
It's very aware of itself.
Yeah.
And it also is a very comedic piece.
There's
but
a lot of laughs.
It's not comedic to the point where it's corny.
No, it's not corny at all. But it's not, like, overly scary either because it's very funny.
So, we will continue. So basically the police come knocking on the door and Cole starts screaming before they can get him to shut up. The police barge on through. Max is ready, like beyond ready. And everyone else is freaking the hell out. Oh, yeah, and I forgot to mention, guys, when they first found out that he was awake and everything. Well, no, actually, no. Sorry. This is after. So the police barge in and whatnot. Bella Thorne gets her tit shot. And they end up taking out the police officers. Cole runs. And at first, John runs up to go get him. And we're one cop down. The other cop's still somewhat alive. And John... Well, no, I'm sorry. This is before John ran up to get him. Right before John ran up to get him, B kills the second cop and literally spurts blood all over John again. At this point, he's had two different people's blood in his mouth. And he decides to go, damn it. Like, every one out of four person has STDs. I have two people's blood in my mouth. I definitely have AIDS now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of all absolutely. Things he could choose. I thought that was pretty funny. Well, then Cole breaks loose, so John goes after him, and Cole, being a kid, leaves his toys everywhere, uses one to his advantage, trips John and throws him through the banister. John gets glass right to the jugular. Beautiful kill. Then Max decides to go get him, and Max is the complete opposite of everybody. He even admits it later on. He just wants to kill people.
Yeah, and Max is fucking nuts. And he's funny, too.
He's psychotic.
Too. I like
but
John
he is hilarious.
John and Max are my two favorites. I love those two.
Max is just absolutely hysterical, guys, because he's like a jock-like type. And he's literally coaching this little boy as he's trying to kill him. He's telling the little kid, I'm going to kill you with my bare hands. And then he's like, whoa, Coley, come on, run. I'm right on your ass.
Yeah.
And it just, like, he was determined to make Cole go out a man. But in the midst of all this, you got crazy-ass Asian Sonya. And she's nuts. She's one of those Asian ladies that is just, she's cracked. She's nuts. I mean, she even threatens to turn the poor kid into a self-human centipede.
Yeah,
she's crazy.
Sonya's crazy, but she got blown the fuck up. He blew that bitch up.
He had every right to, and I found it hilarious. And Max is like, "Wait, where's Sonya?" And he's like, "I blew her up with the firework." And he's like, "Oh, that's amazing." And then he's like, "But I still got to kill you." And Cole's like, "But why?" And he's like, "Because you blew up Sonya." So the poor kid got praised for it, and then he got told that that's why he was going to die.
Yeah, absolutely.
Him and Max, was it?
Yeah, because just the way he said, because he, I think there was a couple more, like, things of dialogue in there, too. And he was, like, because he was like, "You're really going to kill," like, he's like, "You're going to kill me?" And he's like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Why would you do that?" And he's like, "Dude, you blew up Sonya." Like, just the way he's, because it was more like, he was, like, saying that Max was crazy. He's like, "Well, you blew up Sonya. Fuck you," you know?
Yeah, and he, like, Max was, like, kind of proud of Cole.
Yeah, he was like,
when he ran up, and he's like, "Where's Sonya?" And Cole tells him, like, "Oh, I blew her up." And he's like, "Well, how the hell did you do that?" And he's like, "With a firework." And, like, Max, like, pats him on the back. And that's why Cole is like, "Wait, you're not going to kill me?" And Max is like, "No, you blew, of course I'm going to kill you. You blew up Sonya." So it was weird. Max is a very complex character to me. He's very bloodthirsty, and he appreciates a really good kill. But when push comes to shove, he knew the kid had to die.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what he was there to do. But it was also, like, he was, like, proud of him doing, like, being a big brother almost in a couple
Well,
scenes.
That's what I'm saying. His bloodlust definitely shone through, and he and his coaching and whatnot. And he really – I could really see him, the character, be a coach for a serial killer.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it seemed like he was doing. And John had a comment. He was like, "This ain't Home Alone." And then it was like, it really is. Like, it's basically the scary movie version of Home Alone. It's with the things, the tricks that Cole uses and stuff.
And I do want to break up another movie that you brought up here on the Stabcast. It was when we were the Scaredy Cats, but it was Better Watch Out. And this movie is the complete, total 360 opposite of this movie. I don't know if Daniel agrees or not, but I think it is. Because you go from having a situation with a scary-ass kid to a situation with scary-ass teenagers. And the child is innocent. Because in Better Watch Out, you thought the child was innocent for about 30, 40 minutes of the film.
Yeah.
So I liked how in this one, they kept it tried and true, even though the babysitter was hot. I enjoyed their relationship because it wasn't overly sexualized.
No, and I enjoyed it too. My only thing about it was that I feel like she went crazy a little fast. Oh, not fat, but, like, a little abrupt to me, at least. Like, I don't know. There was just something.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
It went from, like, good guy to bad guy way too quick for me. And I know that's, like, kind of a nitpick, but that's kind of what we're supposed to do anyway. So, like
but
I.
But that's why it says right on the screen, "What the fuck?"
Yeah. So, like, and I know, and it basically, and that's when it's like, okay, this is real. But, like, to me, it wasn't, I feel like she didn't give as much as a fuck about Cole during the whole hunting for him as much as, like the movie wants us to think she did, I guess. Like,
I also think, though, that that's why he had the conversation with her in the kitchen that he did when he's like, "Bullshit, you just needed my blood. That was it. I was a vessel for you. That was absolutely it. That was it. You were using me." And she's like, "No, Cole, I loved you." And he's like, "You don't shoot at people that you love." It's like you guys have been being assholes all night.
Yeah, because it went from, like, she was, like, a good friend of his to, like, she was, like, you know, like...
His number
like,
one enemy.
Because Cole was, like, going to kill her.
Well, he was trying to murder Buck.
Or no, not
when they
Cole.
Were having the
Max
conversation.
Was going to kill Cole. And, like, she had John and Max and all them really going to kill Cole, and she didn't give a fuck.
Oh, yeah, and then she went after him with the gun and everything, and him and Melanie with the gun. And he says that to her once they get into the kitchen and he saves her. Well, she saves him from Allison, and he's like, you don't give a shit about me.
Yeah.
And he's trying to burn the book because he wants answers, and she won't tell him. And then she finally does. She basically tells him, like, look, I was very small, I was very shy, and... now I'm confident. And so you basically get the gist that she already had made this deal. She's been doing this for a while. And Cole got that gist as well, because he even said to her, I'm not the first kid, am I? Now, she does give Cole a way out, and she tries to bargain with him and tries to get him to go on her side and be with her and everything, and it looks like he might actually do it. And then he lights the book on fire like that true champion he is and books it out the fucking door. And she is so distracted with this damn book that she's not even thinking about this kid. So at the beginning of the movie, when you see how much of a pussy this kid is, his father, even though I don't understand why they were doing this when he was 12, his father was teaching him how to drive, but the kid actually never drove the car because he was so scared. And in this particular moment, he steals the neighbor girl's father's car, and he rams it through his house on top of B, guys.
Yep.
Literally crushes her. And, like, they're having a heart-to-heart moment and whatnot. And I'm sorry, I got to nitpick at that. That wouldn't have happened. Something like that happens. I mean, the whole first floor of the house, Daniel, fell on her.
Well, yeah, it's not the most... I mean, this. I don't think this movie's really trying to be the most realistic thing on earth, but...
I know, but you nitpick, so I have to nitpick as well.
Yeah.
The death scene with her was just a little bit too long for me.
No, I agree. I think the ending scene was too long. And I know what they were trying to do, but, like, to me, that relationship didn't feel enough to like, really be sad or move me or anything. Like, I thought it was good, but... And I'm glad he was, like, becoming his own man. Like, fuck you, I don't need you, I don't need anybody. But I don't know. There was something about it to me that I thought it was all right, but
it just felt like at the end it was trying to be a little something that it wasn't.
Because it was trying to like really put together the story, and I don't think the story is really what makes it. I mean, his Cole does have good character development. The character of Cole.
Oh, absolutely.
So I don't want to say like the story's bad or anything, but I think the movie.
He goes from being a pussy to killing off five people.
Exactly.
Well, no,
but
four people. He didn't kill Allison.
Right. But what I think the movie does extremely well is the gore, the kills, and the funny moments. And I think what it
means
on that.
I also think the suspense as well.
Suspense too, but I don't know. There was, especially John, like his comedy did take me out of the suspense. Like when they're talking about when Bellatone's crying about getting shot in the tit and he's like making motorboat faces and shit. I'm like, well, to me, like it was supposed to be taken a little fun and maybe not taken so seriously.
I meant more of the suspense when Cole's being hunted.
Yeah.
Like, especially by B.
By B for sure. But also with Max and John and that, and even Sonya, to me there's still an element of comedy because I thought those characters were actually kind of likable and fun.
Sonya was definitely a crazy bitch.
Yeah.
Definitely. But I liked her character. Have I seen it in other movies? Yes, but this was refreshing because she wasn't like torturing people.
No.
And normally that's the kind of character that does that. So
yeah.
I kudos to them for changing up the books a little bit. I wish John would have waited a little bit longer to die, but I do give kudos to them because he wasn't the very first to die.
They had me die when the police came, and he's like, man, I can't be doing this shit. Like, just the way he was
No,
talking.
It was after the police came. Cole killed him. It was after the police had showed up. Cole killed him.
Killed who?
John.
Yeah, no, the cops didn't kill John, but I would say his reaction to the cops coming had me dying. I thought it was really
Oh, yeah,
funny.
It was priceless.
When
Black
he was like,
lives matter.
With this shit, man. Like, just that he was, it was really funny.
It was.
And he had blood covered
his
face.
They all had their moments.
And then the cop got, because B slit the cop's throat and more blood went on John's face.
That's what I was telling you. And he was like, sorry, Daniel. He was like, one out of four people have STDs. I have AIDS now.
Yeah, that shit was funny. I know I got AIDS. It was funny as fuck. So I really liked him in that.
Yeah, it was really good. All of them had their comedic moments, I would say, except for B. She was more of a different kind of character than I would say a comedic character. She was very serious.
No, I'd agree. I would agree with you. I thought B was really good. Samara Weaving's a pretty good actress. I like her a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah. The best kill, I think, would actually go to John and getting the thing stabbed through his throat after falling off the thing, falling off the balcony. Either
I would have to disagree.
I would either go him or Bella Thorne and getting shot in the fucking head.
I would disagree with both. I really enjoyed the way that they set up the treehouse kill with Max.
Really?
Yes. To me, that was quite creative because I watched it a couple of times to see what actually had happened. And it's very quick, but he knows going to kill Max. He holds on to the rope as they're both falling.
Right.
And then Max hangs to death. That, for me, was a very crucial death, I would have to say, in the movie, just because I feel like that one in particular kind of broke Cole, and he was like, all right, well, this is fucking real now.
Oh, for sure.
Because, yes, he did set Sonya on fire, and, yes, he did accidentally kill John, but like I said, accidentally. And Sonya, he did it because he absolutely had to. Now, he was more conniving. And he finally got a little hint that he was starting to not care.
Yep.
So that's why that was my favorite kill, because I honestly think it was the most crucial kill in the movie.
It was good. It was very good. I thought it was a good kill.
And also, anybody that can hang a muscular man like that, being 12 years old, kudos to him.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I mean, my second kill would definitely have to go to Allison because that shot was killer. Literally.
Oh, it was. That was killer. Allison got fucked up.
Like she got her head blown to bits.
Yep.
But she was a funny one, too. Like, when she finally decided to go after Cole, and Cole didn't know what to do, so he just started punching her titties. Like, she took that as, like, a perverted, like, move.
Yeah, it was funny when she was trying
to... And she's like, I'm not trying to kill you by kicking you in the dick. And it's like, oh, my God, she is so stupid, but I love her at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, as much as I really like Bella Thorne that much, I will have to say the more indie work I see her do, the more I appreciate her.
She's pretty good. She's damn good. I mean, she's an acquired taste. Like, she was good in that Scream show for that first episode. She was a good first kill.
Yeah, but if she would have... That's what I'm saying, like, she was good for her first kill, and that's why I brought up those two other movies, especially Girl, because Girl is the complete opposite of what she is, Daniel. I mean it. Like, go on Hulu and watch it. It's great. It's the complete opposite. I didn't even realize it was her at first, because she has no makeup on, dirty hair, dirty clothes.
Right.
I didn't know it was her. Because her hair is so damn dirty. It's not red. It's brown.
Right. Might have to go back.
So, but next time, guys, we're going to be doing the second babysitter. Correct, Daniel?
You want to do that next week?
I think we should. Now, next week, I know that Daniel is going on vacation, correct?
Yeah, I'm not going to be here Sunday.
Okay, so we're going to what we will do is what we have done, and we will make sure that you guys get your daily fix, whether it's earlier in the week or whether we record it and release it on Sundays, we will be here.
Yes.
So I also wanted to give Daniel a personal moment to go ahead and thank everybody. I know I already did on the TikTok, but go ahead, Daniel.
Oh, the plugs?
No, the TikTok thing.
Oh, yeah. We definitely got to do a TikTok.
Now, Daniel, I was saying you could show your appreciation for our followers. All right, guys, he's not getting it. So we just want to say thank you for the 100 followers that we just got.
We appreciate everybody that follows the TikTok, the Facebook, all our fans. Let's get up to 200. Let's get up to 500. Maybe I'll do a fucking dance on there with Mindy, for God's sakes. So I appreciate everybody that is on the TikTok. You're not chasing me with a knife, but I will do anything else. I'll dance. I'll shake what my mama gave me. I'll do anything.
Guys,
for this,
get 10,000 people to listen to this, and I will chase Daniel with a knife.
Fuck you will. I don't care if a million people listen. That ain't happening.
He said it, guys. His cap is a million. Let's get it to 2 million.
But, yeah, thank you to everybody for joining the TikTok and becoming a follower. And we'll keep the content coming. So anything else you want to get at, Mindy?
No, I think we're good. So this one you can find on Netflix as well. And then the one that we're going to be doing next week, the sequel, Killer Queen, that will also be on Netflix as well for you guys if you want to go check that out before we review it.
Yeah. I can't wait. I'm excited to talk about that one because I haven't seen it yet. So I'm gonna watch it this week, and then we'll get something going for next time.
All right.
All right,
y'all.
Everybody have a great week, and we'll see everybody next time on the Stabcast.
All right, guys. Peace.